Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And your IQ is going to go up, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, because our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont, is back on the show. He's a member of our Brain Trust, outstanding, distinguished member of our Brain Trust, former governor of Delaware, former congressman from that great state, former presidential candidate for this nation. And I've said many times before, I would be happy to be an American in a country where there was a president, Pete DuPont, and he's now the chairman of an organization that I like telling you about, the National Center for Policy Analysis. But most importantly, he's our good friend, Pete DuPont. Welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. You give me the best introductions in the morning. I just want to listen on tape for a while. Get me started for the day. Those are very nice things to say.
Did I ever tell you about the time your distinguished fellow at NCPA there, Bob McTeer, introduced me at a speech? Did I ever tell you about that story?
No.
He invited me, when he was still the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, he invited me down to speak to an audience. He gaggled a bunch of folks together there for my speech, and he I'd known him for years. He'd been on my show for years, but it was the first time we'd actually met face-to-face. And so he got up there, and he read the obligatory stuff about me, and then he said, you know, I've never heard Jim speak before, so if he's any good, let's get him up here, and if he's not, let's get it over with.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I'm on your show.
Only Bob McTeer would come up with a line like that.
Exactly.
But I wonder if people are thinking, how many people are thinking that about some of the appointments to the president-elect's administration, if they're thinking, you know, we either need to, I'm ready to get this going, or I'm ready to get it over with, one or the other, because he's been trotting out his new appointees every other day or so for the last week or so, hasn't he?
Yes, and I think he's getting a lot of approval for the way he's kind of conducting things so far. First, he's got some early nominees. You compare what he has put forward with what former President Clinton put forward.
Yeah.
And I think President-elect Obama is about a month and a half ahead. So
yeah.
He's done a good job, and his appointments are really interesting. The fact that he kept Secretary Gates as the defense secretary.
Very pragmatic, wasn't it? Disciplined and pragmatic and prudent thing to do, wasn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. And then you look at some of the other people. I mean, Peter Orszag taking the budget directorship, he's a very talented person. He's had a lot of experience in several presidential administrations. Governor Napolitano of Arizona, governor of Arizona.
Yeah, tell us about her. Now, see, I'm glad you mentioned her, because that's a name. I know her. I know who she is, but I don't know what her qualifications are to become the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Well, she is a she's governor of a state that has a border with Mexico.
Right.
And, that gives you a lot of experience dealing with problems with people,
but that's not enough, Governor.
The border in the night. So she's had some experience there. Secondly, she's a very smart person and very good to work with. I know her a little bit, and I'm always impressed.
Good. Well, I'm awfully glad to hear that, because I didn't have any. Any reason to lurch to criticize that appointment. I just didn't know what her credentials were, because I'm telling you, Homeland Security, that's a big job now these days. I mean, they rolled a bunch of agencies under that. I mean, that's everywhere from nuclear to you know, protecting our shores from people coming ashore in canoes and attacking our cities. I mean, that's a big job.
That is a huge job, and she is a very good person to run things. So I think, and I'm not familiar with her national security background, though having a border with Mexico, she's dealt with many of those problems in a minor way. So I expect she's got some experience, and I think she's going to be very, very good. Then you flip over to the Treasury Secretary and Timothy Geithner and Larry Summers, the National Economic Council.
Geithner is the chairman of the New York Bank, Fed Bank.
Right. And, of course, Summers was the head of Harvard. He was in the Clinton administration.
Right.
So
and no flaming left-wing socialist radical himself either, is he?
No, exactly. I mean, right. And I think where he is so far is... Job.
He's brought a lot of centrists to the table, hasn't he? Pretty much.
And a lot of smart people.
Yeah, and smart people, exactly. Stand by, quick break, 20 till. I've got one little bone to pick, though. I want to get Governor DuPont's idea on this right after we come back. Stay with us.
Children play in the park. They don't know I'm alone.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust and lots of new stuff. By the way, it's a brand new website, just a couple of weeks old. I think you'll like it when you check it out. New stuff. We've launched it, the new site with it's loaded up with all the new multimedia technology that we've developed over the last few years. I think you'll like it, so check that out. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter, which you can do right there at the website, and we'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. And then of course, my blog, jimsblog.biz. I hope you check that out too, because that's my blog, and I write it, everything, and post everything, and so you can see what I have to say, some of my thoughts, and you can even comment on some things there too. So check that out, jimsblog.biz. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, former governor of Delaware, the chairman, policy chairman, at an outstanding organization, National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. And in a little bit, I'm going to get the governor to tell us a little bit more about them. Governor, here's that. You know, I told you I had that little bone to pick. I'm right. like you. I'm really hopeful of Obama's President-elect Obama's first steps. But there's one thing that sort of troubles me just a little bit. And I hate to be a nitpicker, but this is kind of something that I wish he had not done. When he walks up to the podium, there's a sign on the front of his podium that says Office of the President-elect. Now, Governor, I've gone back and looked at the Constitution. I don't see any place in the Constitution where there is an office of the President-elect.
Well,
am I being picky?
Well, yeah, because he's got to have a sign. You know, when he gets to be president, it'll just say President of the United States, and he won't need an office.
Why doesn't he just say President-elect Obama?
Well,
I mean, there is. He doesn't have an office. There is no. He doesn't have a platform. He doesn't have any. All he can do is propose things right now. There is no. He doesn't have any business to conduct except to get his administration ready. There is no office.
Well, he's conducting a lot of business to get himself organized. Not only with the cabinet secretary,
I don't know,
but he's getting his tax bill ready. He's getting his spending bills ready. He's getting his health care things ready. So he's got.
Well, I had to find something to pick at him about, Governor. He's done such a good job on so many other levels. But I've asked other people, Democrats and Republicans. And I actually, some of the Democrats I talked to kind of ticked off, you know, kind of agree with me about this, but that I have asked them, you know, has anybody ever used that term before?
Yeah.
And they said, no, they don't.
I got to watch on television more carefully.
It says the office of the President-elect. And so anyway, so let's talk about some of his other appointments.
Well, Senator Hillary Clinton, of course, is the
How about
one
that causes the most
explosion.
Secretary of State, were you surprised?
Born against. Well, she's, first of all, I was reading the paper this morning. She's been to 60-some countries when she was working both in the Senate and with her husband as president.
So I think she'll do a good job there, don't you?
Oh, I think she will, and she's got her head screwed on right. She's a very thoughtful person, so
very smart, very shrewd, very tough.
She's a little bit against free trade, which should worry us. But,
that's a problem.
But I think she's got some experience and some background, and I would guess President-elect Obama said, you know, the safest thing to do 4 years from now, in case she decides to run against me, is to put her in the cabinet now so I can keep an eye on her.
He's no dummy, is he?
He is no dummy, is
he? He embraces the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Exactly. Right. And then the only other one to mention is Eric Holder, the new attorney general.
What do you think about him?
Well, he's got a lot of experience.
And some baggage.
And some baggage with some background work he did with President Clinton. And in giving people pardons, but he's a pretty knowledgeable person. So he's not on quite on the high list with the other people we've been talking about. But he's certainly got some experience and knows what he's doing.
Did Obama learn some things? One thing I think Obama is capable of doing, he's capable of looking at history and learning from that. Don't you think he's learned some things from the missteps the Clinton administration?
Oh, I think he must have. And you know, all of the people who watched him in the campaign said, you know, when he gets to be president, he's going to pick a very liberal cabinet, and he's going to have a very liberal set of programs, and so on and so forth. But he hasn't done that. Now he does have some programs that are very much in the liberal point of view.
What are some of those that you're concerned about?
Well, the healthcare one is the serious one, and. The existing senator from Montana introduced a bill a couple of weeks ago to kind of get the thing on the table, and it's the beginning of government taking over health care for everybody in America.
Yep.
And that was just the blueprint, and more is coming, I'm sure. I found that a little worrisome, that the government was going to run the health care system and decide what my doctor could do and what my doctor couldn't do.
Right. And all of this is because 40-something million Americans don't have health care. Why don't we just help those 40-something million and not set everybody else's apple cart?
Well, that's exactly right. And this this bill, now this is the Baucus plan, and it hasn't been endorsed by the president-elect, but it expands Medicaid, for example, to cover all the Americans living in poverty, and that 7 million more people coming into the program. The same thing with government health care.
And it expands a program that's already bankrupt.
Yes, and so
makes sense.
It's a pretty big proposal.
Hold on to that thought. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He and his wisdom will be back with us right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. That's not Elvis, ladies and gentlemen. That's Carl Perkins. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassing. The Small Business Advocate, Governor Pete DeCamano is our guest. He's chairman of the policy at the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. Governor, two other distinguished fellows, Bob McTeer and Terry Neese, are also members of our Brain Trust. It's a great organization. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, John Goodman put it together, and he's one of the great healthcare thinkers we have in America. He's written half a dozen books about healthcare and how to make the healthcare system better. And I think President-elect Obama would be good to go and talk to John and say, "What would you do?" I don't think he's going to do that, but John would have much more market-oriented ideas and give consumers more choice. But
wasn't he the guy who basically invented the medical savings account that has now become HS?
Oh, exactly right. And he had that idea, and he published it in a book a while back. And a few years went by, and the Senate got hold of the idea one day, and it became part of our law. And John's a very
much to the chagrin of Ted Kennedy.
Exactly right. And he's going to have some health care bill here into session in January that I don't know what it's going to do, but it'll be a blockbuster.
It'll
be socialization of healthcare in America.
And because of his illness, and God bless him, I hope he lives forever. I don't wish him any harm at all. But he's the big, he's the archenemy of small business, Ted Kennedy, and because of his illness, there'll be a sympathy thing there. They'll push that through.
Oh, I think, and you put him together with the proposals that have been made, and the thoughts that President-elect Obama's had, and I think we're going to see a very government-oriented healthcare system that's going to impact all of us.
What is the size of government on GDP? Is it 1/4 or 1/3? Do you remember? Do you know the number?
Oh, I think it's about 1/4, but it's going to get bigger.
Okay, well, here's my point. The government is 25%.
Right.
Healthcare is 17%.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure if that includes Medicare, Medicaid. It does. But the point is that we're certainly, if we have a universal healthcare, we're talking about the government being in charge of in excess of 1/3, maybe even 40% of our economy.
Well, it's going to. That's exactly right. I hadn't thought of that. But it is going to make the government much more important in our daily lives, and it's going to start making, when you look at what they're proposing, the government's going to decide what the word affordable means.
I don't mean to be nitpicking with you, Governor, but you use the word important. I'd rather use the word intrusive.
Intrusive. Well, that's exactly right, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to avoid intrusive.
Yeah.
It's going to determine a variety of health care policies, and when you want health care, you got to pick one of the 8 or 10 that they've approved, and they're going to contain all kinds of government decision-making.
Yep.
About how things are run, and there's a brand-new committee going to be put together, an independent health care
committee. And I don't think we need to be naive about President-elect Obama's stance on health care, regardless of all the centrism and all the pragmatic decisions he's made on these appointments. I don't think we need to let that be an indicator of him being naive or him being a pushover on this health care thing. I think he's going to be a staunch advocate for universal health care.
Oh, no question. He is. He's going to have a health care plan largely run and paid for by the government, and as I say, the government will run it, regulate it, supervise it, all of us patients how we've got to comply with it. So it's going to be a very different thing.
Here's going to be an interesting scenario to me, Governor, with all of us realizing that one of the reasons the big three automakers are having so much problems is because of the deals that they've made with the unions over the years, loading up their benefits and their payroll, that's pretty much contributed significantly to bringing these companies to near bankruptcy, or basically to being in bankruptcy without... how is he going to reconcile helping those companies and yet proposing the card check bill, which is going to the Employee Free Choice Act, which is not free choice at all? How is he going to reconcile those two things? It's going to be difficult, isn't it?
Well, I don't think he can reconcile it, but I think the deal he made with union support for the presidency is that card check rule is going to get passed by the Congress as a first bill, and he'll probably sign it into law, and that's going to change the labor policies in the country.
Yep.
Maybe you'll find enough people in the Senate opposed to it that a filibuster can be held on, and it won't happen.
At this point in time, the Senate is the only real check and balance against some of these policies, isn't it?
It is, and I'm not sure when it comes to that particular labor policy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we've got enough senators to keep it from happening.
Well, we may have to make some phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Governor DuPont, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I look forward to coming back.
We'll see. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I'll be back too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.